Oh, that's right. Good afternoon, everybody. How you doing? Hey, I'm Ann Eller right here with you on WCRS. That's 1450 AM. And also, we're real excited now because we're also 98.5 FM. Not too hot, not too cool, just right, right here in Greenwood. So I hope you're looking forward to another afternoon with me, Ann Eller, and today my very special guest, Beverly Burton. She's the department head and instructor for human services at Piedmont Tech, and she's a very accomplished potter, and also with John McGarrity, who is a big potter who just can't decide which way he wants to go. Throwing, building, however he wants to do it. He's from Bolivia. Bolivia? No, Bolivar.
Bolivar,
Missouri. That's right. So how y'all doing today?
We're great.
I'm doing great.
Doing great.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, well, it's an exciting weekend coming up because it's the annual Heritage Trail Pottery Tour and Sale. It's going to be covering not only Greenwood, but 96 Edgefield, and they've got a whole tour planned out. But Beverly, what makes the pottery tour so intriguing to you?
I think one of the great things is that people get to come in and see the studios. They get to see how potters work. Some people might be doing demonstrations. And we also, as a group, take our own tour on Friday before the sale starts, because we used to never get to see each other's work. Everybody had to be at their studio. So we now take our own tour on Friday and have lunch and spend the day going to each other's studio to check out each other's work. It's fun. A lot of fun.
I'll bet it is.
That's my favorite part of the tour.
So how do you do that? If you're one of the potters that is demonstrating, how do you go on tour with the others, just out of curiosity?
Well, all the potters get together on Friday before the sale starts. So we meet Friday about 11 a.m. We're going to meet at Partners in Clay. We'll tour that studio, and then we'll start. We're going to have lunch at Howard's on Main in Greenwood. We already have a space reserved for us. And then we'll stop at all the studios all the way down until we get to Edgefield, where we have a celebration at the end.
Ah, that sounds great. Now, it sure is a lot of work to put this all together, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is a tremendous amount of work. It takes a lot of people and a lot of cooperation among a lot of people to get it done.
Sure. And, of course, how many potters are actually participating in the in this whole pottery tour?
We've got 25, I believe, is right this year. And that's what we average about every year, 25.
And I think this is the fifth year, isn't it?
I think you're right.
You know, that's come a long way. I've been doing this since the very first year, mm-hmm. and it has steadily grown, hasn't it?
Yes, it's we have another studio that's opened in Greenwood, so we have a new one on the tour this year. And then as people have been more involved in pottery too, their skills get better, the things they do change, there becomes so much more variety. So it's really some beautiful work out there this year.
Well, you talk about a new studio. Would that be the old 96 Pottery Studio?
That's it.
And John, that's one of where you hang out, huh?
I do have a studio there. I do most of my hand building work at Old 96.
Where exactly is that?
It is in the Metal Quonset Hut warehouse right next to the auto parts store on South Main Street.
I know exactly where that is. That's great. And not only are you there, but Bob Bossett and Rodney Smith.
Ronnie Smith has his wheel area set up just inside the front door, and he's been busily preparing for the pottery tour.
Pretty cool as far as that goes. Now, how did you get into pottery, John?
I started in high school. I was in every art class I could attend. I've always been interested in all the arts, painting and drawing. And when I discovered the potter's wheel, that was it as far as art for me goes. Like, everything just clicked, and we had a demonstration from a local potter in Missouri, and just watching him throw tall jugs and vases and whatever he wanted to make, he made with just a ball of clay and a wheel, just fascinated me to no end. So I pursued that a little bit in college, and then kept it as a hobby mostly until I met my wife, and her career caused us to need to travel, and so I couldn't very well move a potter's wheel from location to location. They're very, very heavy. So I sold most of my equipment in the early 2000s, and I'm just now getting back into it.
Now, that brings up an interesting question, because you're from Missouri, and now you're here in Greenwood. So how did that happen?
My wife graduated with her master's degree and became a pediatric nurse practitioner. And so she interviewed for jobs all over the country, and one of those jobs was here in Greenwood with Carolina Health Centers. And she accepted. We fell in love with Greenwood as a small town, which is what we were looking for. And here I am.
Now, when she was doing the traveling nurse thing, did you ever come down to the Carolinas?
We did not. her parents actually did. Her dad is a traveling nurse as well, and he did several job contracts in the Carolinas and always spoke very highly of it. My family is actually from the Carolinas pre-Revolutionary War, so I've always had a desire to come here to figure out, you know.
There was something pulling you here to
right.
South Carolina,
my,
right?
My homeland, where
your
the
homeland.
Roots of my tree.
That's pretty cool. So so now you're back into your pottery full time?
Yes, I'm a full time studio potter.
And how does the money making part of being a potter?
If you figure it out, you let me know, because I could really I could really
you need
use
a business
the funding.
Plan? Is that what you're telling me?
this is the first year for me, and it's only been a few months, and this Heritage Trail will be my first sale. So if anyone wants to support a new and starving artist, you're welcome to join us on the Heritage Trail pottery tour. But yeah, I'm figuring it out as I go along. I'm registered as a business, and so we're learning all kinds of new skills that come along with that. So
it's pretty interesting, isn't it?
It is. It's empowering to no end to be able to create for a living, hopefully. There's something about the creative process that all artists understand, and I think in a way we get a little bit addicted to it. If you don't have it in your life, you miss it terribly. And if it's working like it should, it's the best therapy in the world. Nothing can bring you down, because you can always get in the studio and work through anything.
Yeah. Well, then that brings us right back over here to Beverly, who is the head and instructor for human services at PTC. What do you find about doing pottery, Beverly?
Well, when I get into the studio after work, which is most days of the week, I forget what time it is, because you're just working creatively. All your stress goes away. You think about nothing else, and you're really just in the moment, I think. So it's so relaxing and just refreshing.
And I would have to say that sometimes I imagine your job as head and instructor there for human services, it can be kind of stressful.
It can. It has its problems.
It has its problems.
Its problems find the way to my door sometimes.
Yeah.
And so it's an excellent release.
Yeah.
Because as much as I do enjoy my regular day job, and
sure
I can
you put that in there, Beverly.
Yes.
That was good. Yes.
And I can be very creative in that job too, which is good. This is a different type of creation. It's creating with my hands and having something I can take home and put in my cabinets and enjoy every day. And I just have always loved dishes.
You know, what made you get into pottery to begin with?
When I was in college, that's when I really wanted to be an art major. And
you are the department head and instructor for human services. Okay, go ahead.
Wanted to be an art major, and all I heard was, how are you going to make a living? How are you going to make a living? You cannot major in art. So, like John said, all of my electives, every course I could take in art, I did, while my major was actually psychology. I took my first pottery class in college. And then had to put it aside, and later had a family, have worked in the field, and always wanted to get back into it. When my boys got old enough to leave unsupervised for a minute and a half, I started taking classes again, and that's how I ended up back in pottery. And my grandmother was an artist. I actually have her kiln that she used and fired in it recently when there was a display at the museum and a sale where they had mugs there.
Mugs, yep.
I fired all those mugs in her kiln. So it, after all these years, still works.
That's pretty awesome, mm-hmm. isn't it?
It is. It really is awesome.
Does that make you feel more of a connection to your grandmother?
I think so. I actually, in going through my parents' house and cleaning it out after my parents died, found some of her paintbrushes because my parents lived in the house she lived in. So it was a couple of generations there, and I saved her paintbrushes. I can't really use them, but I have them in with my other paintbrushes. And hopefully, she was a wonderful artist. She did major in art at Lander and was a fabulous artist. So I hope, and did ceramics.
Name? What was her name?
Grandma.
Grandma Moses? No.
Her name was Josephine Schuler Burton.
Josephine Schuler Burton.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, she was. I have several of her paintings hanging in my house now, and she just did beautiful paintwork, but then later on did cast ceramics, not on the pottery wheel, but actually poured cast and painted pottery.
You don't ever feel her presence like the movie Ghost, you know, where the pottery, you don't ever feel her right there with you, do you? I mean, I just have to ask these questions, you know.
Yeah, not yet.
Well, Grandma, if you're listening, stop on by. But that's nice. You know, that is. And I think when you can have that connection to family things that have been done in the past and to be mm-hmm. able to do it in the present really makes it very special.
It does. It does for me.
That's terrific. So what type of things do you like to do, Beverly, as far as pottery? What type of items?
Well, I do a lot of functional items, and I remember Gary Klotz, he was my instructor at Piedmont, and one of the first questions he asked me is, what do you want to be able to do? Well, what I wanted to do was to be able to make a set of dishes. So I've been making dishes. I like functional pottery that you can use and enjoy using, but I also do something whimsical about every year.
So what is the whimsical choice this year?
This year it's cats.
Cats. And we do have sitting here on the desk, I think Emerald took a cool picture of it, and I'm sure she probably posted it. But it's open on the bottom. It's a cat that looks like it's saying, oh no, what's going to happen now? Yeah? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very cool. On the functional side of the things you do, one of the things that I remember Laura Baczynski saying, there's something about sitting there having your coffee or your tea with a mug that you know that somebody made, and it's very sensual when you have a cup or a dish or whatever.
It really is. It has a special feeling. Even when I use the dishes, I used to make a joke when we had family events getting together over the last few years, and everybody would take a dish. So I would take a dish and say, I brought the macaroni, and I made the dish it's in. So they would laugh and call me Martha Stewart. You know, that was the big joke, is
right.
That, you, did you go out and dig your clay too? Yes, I did it all today.
But there is, and when we look at the functionality and the usability of the things that are made out of clay, it does make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
We've become such a throwaway society when we look at paper plates and plastic and this type of thing. To have something that'll last and will stand up to being used, it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And has beauty in its beauty. And all the pieces, there's so much beauty because it's so much difference in each piece that you look at. They're all so unique.
Yeah, even when you have a set, they're all a little different, mm-hmm. aren't they, John?
That's true. You can't, unless you're really, really good, you can't make everything look identical. There'll always be size differences or shape differences, but that's what's great. It turns a kitchen where everything is just, like you said, disposable. Plastic and things into something unique. It's almost an event to open your cabinet and see all the color and the shape and the.
I agree.
It's great.
Mm-hmm. So, do you like to do dishes or what type of things? You brought some mugs here.
These are
handleless
some,
mugs or
these are some tumblers.
Tumblers, okay.
I decided when I started this business that I wanted to have. Seasonal lines of production. So I would be working on cold weather products in the summer, so I was ahead of schedule,
mm-hmm.
and that has since fallen apart, and I'm behind now. So I'm working on some warm weather items, and I wanted to pursue the idea that if it's the heat of summer, people want, you know, cold tea or, you know, some drinks that you don't necessarily need a coffee mug for. And so I made these tumblers for cold beverages, and I've made some smaller tumblers for, you know, sangria and different mixed drinks and things. And so when fall and winter roll around, I'll switch over to handled coffee mugs and hot chocolate, you know.
Cider. Yeah, that would be good. Now, as you're making these things and as you're looking, both of you, looking at what's going to sell, what kind of price points? For example, your four tumblers right there, what kind of price point are those?
Well, I'm working towards having established sets for sale. I will probably price these individually, even though they all look relatively identical. I'll probably price them individually just to keep them more affordable for the sale.
Mm-hmm.
I'm toying with the idea of $15 a piece. I wanted something that wasn't going to break the bank if you wanted to buy a set.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, these are not wheel thrown. They're hand built. And so each one takes me a good amount of time to get them built and then glazed.
How much time would you say if you were just on all the way through on one? I know you're doing more than one at a time, but, you know, if you're doing one, how much time would you say is involved in it?
Throughout the process, I would say I have at least an hour in each individual cup. From making one from raw clay takes about, you know, 10 minutes, and then there's the cleanup and the firing. There's two separate firings that mm-hmm. they have to go through. The glaze firing be the last of those, and then, you know, there's also...
So that's not that much an hour is what I was... The point I was getting at, that's not that much an hour for a finished product here, which does... And then, of course, you've got the clay, and you've got all the time in between, and when you look at it, that's darn affordable.
Sure.
Yeah.
I've worked towards building an assembly line, too. So you said, how long does it take to make one? And I was like, how do I divide that out? Because I make 15 at a time.
Yeah, but still, so, I mean, you have to figure on a piece basis. But that's still very, very affordable. Now, Beverly, how about the mug that you have right there? That's a pretty one. It's got, how would you describe that? Tell us about that mug there.
Well, it's just one of the decorative, oversized, large, tall mugs that I've made, and it has...
great for large lattes.
Yes, great. For anything you want a lot of. It has a lot of stamping that has gone in and some carving that's been done, and then it's been hand-painted. So these take quite a while.
Yeah.
And it has a handle on it, which also is a whole other process that takes a while. So this, I was trying to figure how long this would have taken me, but just in the glazing part where I've individually had to color each item here on it, that was at least an evening, several hours.
On one mug?
Just on the glazing.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. And that doesn't begin to talk about putting it together and then adding the handle. So it's easy to say 4 or 5 hours.
Now, how much do you get for that one there?
What
are you going to ask
probably
for?
Somewhere around...
$5,000? That's entirely too much.
Somewhere around... Probably around $26, which is a good price for that mug.
That's a bargain.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the other thing is they make great gifts.
Absolutely.
Great gifts. If you're looking for a housewarming gift or a gift for a friend, you know, some of the maybe the little bit smaller ones with some tea or something in it, you have the perfect gift to give, a housewarming gift. Such great, elegant gifts to give. And you know you'll be giving something they won't be able to run out and get at Walmart. So there you go. Hey, I'm Ann Eller. I'm here with Beverly Burton and John McGarrity. We will be right back after the news. If you've got a question, give us a call, 229-7984. We are talking about the Heritage Trail Pottery Tour and Sale. They're on the tour. They're excited. Don't you go away.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, this afternoon. And we are talking about the Heritage Trail Pottery Tour and Sale. We do have Beverly Burton here. She is the department head in Human Services at Piedmont Technical College. And we also have John McGarrity. He discovered the love of pottery. He's been able to move right here to Greenwood, South Carolina, and he is going to be doing pottery on a big, big way. So you're going to want to watch for his pottery. Right now, his studio is the Old 96 Pottery, which you may not know it, but the Quonset Hut there, right there on South Main, that's where they've set up a pottery studio. So as we get ready to talk a little bit more about the pottery here, one of the things that I do think that is rather interesting is down there in Edgefield, there's now two studios, correct?
There's a clay center, and then, yeah, there are new studios opening up.
Yeah, they've got the Edgefield Clay Studio on the Pottery Trail, and then the Phoenix Factory's Old Edgefield Pottery. Now, that's really interesting that that actually was Old Edgefield Pottery, and it's been reopened, correct?
That's true. They just had their grand opening this last week.
And who's heading that up?
Justin Guy.
Justin Guy, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's running the Phoenix Factory's Old Edgefield Pottery is what he's called it and renamed it.
Renamed it. So, and, you know, unfortunately, I mean, I think we ought to mention this. Unfortunately, Piedmont Technical College's pottery studio has closed down there because that was a big part of what they did. They would do bring out things from the pottery. It was really interesting. I think it's a shame, but hopefully there'll be some way to be able to continue it because it certainly was an awesome experience to go down there to the pottery.
It was. I went down there two nights a week for classes with a group of people. We had a wonderful time, and I was there when Gary Klontz was the instructor. But Justin Guy, who's at the Phoenix Factory Old Edgefield Pottery, he was an instructor there after Gary Klontz. So he was the second person that was in. But like so many other things, sometimes enrollment drops, and with budget, we have big budget problems everywhere and our economic problems that if you don't have more enrollment than you need, you just can't operate a program. And so a lot of schools lost a lot of programs. They had to close them down because of lack of enrollment. And that was one that took a hit for Piedmont Tech.
Sure, because it wasn't like the nursing program or programs. It was one of those self-fulfillment classes. And I think the other thing that you had said, it was hard to go down and do two nights because pottery is something you really have to feel and get your hands in every day almost.
Right, and of course I was doing the night classes but and some continuing ed classes, but there were students who did the day program and got their certificates and went down there during the day. I think during that time too, when you look at what was going on economically, everybody wanted to major in something that they could walk out and have a job that paid really well. Well, we know that you can do a lot, play in the mud a lot and get some things out there, but you never know when your pay is coming in.
Yeah, so it's and you've got to be very self-disciplined, I think, to do pottery.
You do. Well, yeah. I'm a hobbyist, so I only do it for passion, so I don't have to worry about being self-disciplined since I'm a hobbyist. But I like to have sales because it makes me feel good when people want to buy a piece of pottery. I know they want to enjoy it in their homes, and that feels really great. But I also need to get rid of stuff so I can make more stuff because, you know, I got to clean those shelves off. I want to be able to make pottery, and the only way to keep doing it is to get rid of what's on the shelves.
That's right. So now, Beverly, you are at Partners in Clay.
That's right.
And that's over there at Wyatt Farms.
That is right. We, five of us went in together about 5 years ago, and we're lucky enough to be at that place, and they actually built that studio for us. We were looking for a building. We'd looked several places in town, and they built it because Roger Stevenson wanted his art studio on the other side, so they built the whole building. We share it side to side, and it's been a wonderful arrangement. And there are three of us still left in that studio that were out of the original five. So we've hung in there together for 5 years, and then we have two new people with us.
Well, that's terrific. And then coming up, I think it's in June, isn't it? The Laura Baczynski and several others are taking the bottom floor of the Greenwood building right there on the corner.
Maine and Maxwell. That's right.
Maine and Maxwell, and it is going to be awesome. I mean, it's such a good-looking building, the way they've redone the building and modernized it, and I can't wait to see Laura working every day. Laura, if you're working, if you're listening here today, I want to see you in that shop every day. Yes. No, I think it's terrific, and I know there'll be opportunity for people to sell through
that's
that.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So it's going to be a great place to be able to run in and get a piece of pottery if you need it. So looking forward very much for that to be open. But Partners in Clay is the first one, and we need to let's see. I was just looking. Partners in Clay. Michelle Liggett. There's another potter right there that works out there at Piedmont Tech.
That's absolutely right. She is. Her day job is massage therapy, an instructor.
I think that's
that.
Kind of, you know, that kind of goes, doesn't it? Massage therapy and then working on the clay.
That's right. Her hands are in great shape.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. Hannah Poe and Sandy Stardersky and Beverly Burton, which is sitting across from me, Phyllis Collins, Linda Neely. What a great group.
It is. And it's a fun bunch of women to work with.
So that's terrific. Then, of course, the next stop, the Old 96 Pottery, 1428 South Main Street. And Ronnie Smith, who owns Speedway, he's into pottery in a big way. Bob Bassett and John McGarity sitting right here with me. So that's going to be another stop. Now, what is the idea of this? Is that people, I guess, can go and see people actually doing pottery and demonstrating. It's to give you more of a feel, isn't it, on what it takes to do pottery, Beverly?
Right, and a chance to tour the studios and see people participating, demonstrating pottery, and kind of get an idea of what it's like. And so many restaurants in larger towns now, some of them have gone to having dishes, not your standard dishes that you buy from the store, but original pottery dishes that they're serving their meals out of now. So people are trying to get back more organic and back to the earth, and it's a good place to start is to get your first piece of pottery to put in your cabinet from one of these places during the sale.
That's right. So make sure you put that on your calendar. It is Saturday from 10 to 5 and Sunday from noon to 5. Now, real quick, we're going to have to let Beverly go here in a second, but I understand that you're doing raffle tickets too.
Yes. If you find any of the 25 potters, you can probably get a raffle ticket from them. Raffle tickets are $5 a piece. We have each studio has donated a piece of pottery. So we have 6 items, and you can pick which one that you want your raffle ticket to go towards, so you have even a better chance of getting what you want. And then we'll have a drawing on Tuesday right after the sale. We'll draw for that piece and get it to you. So we'll have 6 winners.
6 winners, mm-hmm. And just $5 to enter.
Right, and I know one of the prizes is a cat.
Is a cat.
It is.
And would you have made it, Beverly?
I did make it. One prize is a cat. And, you know, what I say is I have probably a dozen or more cats, and they're all up for adoption, except that one is a gift that somebody has to take home, and they don't even need any kind of training for it.
They don't need to Mm-mm. be
house trained or anything like
else.
That.
So that is terrific. Well, listen, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors. Beverly, I know you have to leave because you have to get back to Piedmont Tech for a meeting. This is so much more fun.
It is. You're right.
Well, let's hear a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help. From McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. Hey, I'm Ann Eller, right here with you on WCRS, having a good time talking about pottery and the big Heritage Trail pottery tour and sale. You know, this is a program that the Greenwood Area Studio Potters, it's called GASP, and this project is funded in part by the South Carolina Arts Commission, so that's a good thing. Also, if you'd like a map and want to know what direction or how to get to the different places, there are maps available at the museum and at the Art Center of Greenwood right there at the Federal Building. And if you want more information, don't forget to check out their Facebook page, Heritage Trail Pottery Tour and Sale. They've got lots of good information posted right there. But I also have to tell you that the vintager, Jeff Eller, is going to be with me tomorrow afternoon on the show. And if you go on our Facebook page, WCRS.AM Radio, and you have a burning question about something, a piece of merchandise that you have, whether it's jewelry, silver, art, pottery, post that picture, ask that question, and he may choose to answer that question tomorrow afternoon on our show when the vintager, Jeff Eller, returns. So go to our Facebook page, WCRS.AM Radio. Post your picture, post your questions about your piece, and if you can stump him, you're going to win a free car wash from Frank's Car Wash. So great fun tomorrow afternoon. Always enjoy having Jeff, my husband, right here on WCRS. We always have a good time together. You'll be able to hear us on 98.5 FM dial and also 1450 on the AM dial. That's tomorrow afternoon from 4 to 5. Got a question, you can always message us on Facebook, WCRS.AM Radio, or just pick up that phone and give us a call, 229-7984. See if you can stump, or maybe you just have something you'd like to know about. Send us some good pictures so we can talk about it, and your piece may be chosen to talk about on the air tomorrow afternoon. Lots of fun with Jeff Eller, my husband, right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. All right, well, we do have John McGarity left with us. Beverly had to leave, but John is here, and we were starting to talk a little bit about the pottery tour. There's no cost to go to any of the studios. It's totally free. What they are hoping is that you will enjoy seeing the pieces, have some conversation with the potter, and maybe you'll decide to buy a piece or two. Would that be fair to say, John?
That would be a great thing.
Yes, that would be a great thing. Okay, so we talked about Partners in Clay, that is at Wyatt Farms. And then we have the old 96 Pottery. That's how long has that studio been in existence?
We just had the newspaper article featuring the studio. It's been open for a few weeks now, but our schedules have been so random. We only have the studio open when we have time to be in the studio. So we've both been very busy preparing for the pottery tour and sale this coming weekend. And so it seems like the kiln's been running nonstop.
Well, that's great. So it's relatively new. It's new to Greenwood.
Yes. Yeah. Ronnie is a great potter in his own right. And so this was a passion project of his, and he had the opportunity to purchase the metal Quonset hut there on Main Street, and so he's been busily upgrading some of the interior facilities and getting it set up as a great little studio. There's a seating area. You're welcome to come and have a seat the day of the Heritage Trail Pottery Tour and Sale, and we'll talk about pottery. I'll probably be demonstrating some hand-building techniques because that's the type of pottery that I make there, and we'll just have a good time.
That's great. That's great. So that's new to the tour. Then, of course, Bell House Pottery, 221 Epworth Camp Road. I do believe that that's Laura Baczynski's home studio right there. And, of course, not only will you see Laura there, you'll see Donna Boasian and Donna and Jim Corley, Tim and Diane Miller, Don and Edna Ruff, Barbara Warner, one of my friends here, and Dolores Newsom. So they're all going to be demonstrating. Now, I understand they're actually going to have tents set up on the yard where people will have their different studio setups.
They have a great setup out there. And Donna and Jim Conley, they're the most welcoming people. When I came to the group, they welcomed me right in, and so they're friends of mine, and I understand. This is my first year on the tour, so I haven't got to see this coming Friday. I'll get to see the studios of all my fellow potters when we take the tour and see, you know, the work of our fellow potters. And so I'm looking forward to getting out to the Bell House Pottery area because I've heard it's just spectacular out there.
Yes, and they'll even have activities. I know at that one, I do believe they even have some activities for kids out at that one. So this is a child-friendly event too, isn't it?
Oh, sure. Yeah. if you want to, and adults as well, if you want to get your hands in some clay this weekend, you know, be sure to ask at the studios where we're demonstrating, and I'm sure they would love to have you, you know, try your hand at a pinch pot or roll out a slab in a slab roller and construct a little cup or, you know, we're welcoming to new potters as well. We'd love to have some new students come in and be able to teach lessons and pass this on to other future Heritage Trail members. So yeah, we can grow this event. That's a big key thing. We want to grow this event year after year.
Sure. And you also want to have a place to sell your wares. And so this is an awesome one. You've got graduations, you've got weddings, you've got birthdays. This is a great opportunity to think about somebody that for a piece of pottery, whether it's for yourself or for a gift, it's a great opportunity to think about a unique gift for somebody that you don't know what to get them.
Sure. And we try really hard to make affordable pieces from every level. I'll have tumblers for $15, and we'll also have, I've made some small pinch pots that I'm going to be planting some plants in, so I'll have little miniature gardens that'll be under $10. So we try and make sure that there's something for every price point. You don't just have to come and buy a large platter or you know, a sculptural piece. If you just want to come and see the studios and take home a memento, that would be fine with us, and we look forward to seeing everybody out there. So
sure. So it's a great opportunity for all. So that's Bell House Pottery is there. Then PK Pottery, which is in Edgefield on Plum Branch Road. Pam Cadillac, I don't know if I
Pamela
said that.
Cadillac.
Yes, there you go. She does pottery, but she also raises Boykin Spaniels.
Yes.
Yes, so this is a double whammy, and I'm sure with this time of the year, she'll probably have some pups out there.
She has some great dog-themed pieces. If you are a pet person, a dog person especially, then yeah, that's a highlight of the tour for you. Her pieces are just every bit as cute as the real thing.
Yeah, and she does some awesome work. I know when they had the mug display down there at the museum, she had done some dog mugs. They were really cute too. So that's a great opportunity to be out and see what she does down there. Then you go on down to Edgefield. And you know, the thing about this is you don't have to do it in any particular order. You can start at one end and go to the other. You can do two or three of them on Saturday and finish it on Sunday. It's totally free form on how you do it.
That's true.
And but if you'd like to go down to Edgefield, the Edgefield Clay Studio is at 310 Buncombe Road Street, right there in Edgefield. That's going to be Beth Thornton, Paula Bowers, Michelle Clark, and Bob Taft will be down there at that one. And then also in Edgefield, the Phoenix Factory's Old Edgefield Pottery with Justin Guy, that's just opened up, is going to complete the tour. So you'll have plenty of different styles of pottery and opportunities to check out all these different styles.
That's true. Edgefield style pottery is something I'm still learning about. There's a long and storied history behind pottery in the South Carolina, and the Phoenix Factory's Old Edgefield Pottery is a great place to learn a little bit about the history of pottery in South Carolina. So it's a great stop on the tour.
It is. So if you are looking for something fun to do this weekend, this is going to be it. The Heritage Trail Pottery Tour and Sale. I think we also should mention that Saturday is National Train Day, and they'll be celebrating that right there at the Train Museum. So the Railroad Historic Center's will be celebrating. They have finished, I think, three or four of the cars. They're working on more. They're going to have events for the kids going off. That will be from 10 a.m. to 5. The center will be open, and they're going to have free child-friendly activities from 2 to 4. So this is another great opportunity to do something local and have great fun right here in Greenwood. You know, John, as I will call you an outsider from another area, what do you think about all the things we have going on right here in Greenwood?
I think that the arts community in the Carolinas is it's just been unreal. I didn't experience this level of arts enthusiasm where I'm from, and so to see the support that the arts get in the Carolinas is just amazing to me as an outsider. I've attended several workshops, and I have a number of workshops coming up that I'm going to be attending to learn more about pottery, and they bring potters in from all over the United States to teach here, and it's just been amazing. And it doesn't have to expand beyond your own backyard. I came in thinking, well, I'll be traveling, you know, all over the state to attend these events, and I've been kept so busy right here locally with all of the events that are planned that it's literally right here in your own backyard. And so we hope that we get to see you come out to the Heritage Trail Tour. We'd love to meet you, and we hope that you can take home something that's custom.
A treasure.
Yeah, a custom-built treasure that, that you'll enjoy for years to come.
Absolutely. So you are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood, 98.5, not too hot, not too cool, and also 1450 AM. I hope you're going to get out there to the Heritage Trail Pottery Tour and Sale. It is going on Saturday and Sunday. You can get your maps at the museum and at the Art Center of Greenwood. Also, make sure you check out their Facebook page, the Heritage Trail Pottery Tour and Sale. John, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule getting ready for the Heritage Pottery Tour. Thanks for coming out this afternoon.
Oh, thank you.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Don't forget, check out our Facebook page, WCRS.AM Radio, and see if you can stump the vintager. Jeff will be on the show with me tomorrow afternoon on WCRS. Bye-bye, everybody.